Hello, and welcome to America First. I'm Scotty Nell Hughes. A question millions of Americans are asking as they stand in long TSA lines, deal with flight delays, and watch chaos unfold at airports across the country. How did we get here? Because at the very same time travelers are dealing with delays and staffing shortages here at home, the Pentagon is now seeking up to $200 billion in additional funding for the war in Iran. So let's connect the dots. We're told there's not enough funding to properly staff and support basic airport security. We're told delays are unavoidable, but somehow there's always money available for another foreign conflict. Let's ask the tough question. Is America really being put first? Or are we watching once again Washington prioritize foreign wars over domestic stability? I'm Scotty Nell Hughes, and this is America First. There's a moment every American traveler has experienced recently, standing in line, watching the clock, hoping you don't miss your flight, and wondering why something as basic as airport security feels like it's breaking down. This isn't just an inconvenience. This is infrastructure. This is national security at home. And yet, we're seeing growing reports of strain across our airport systems. Now layer on top of that what's happening globally. The war in Iran has already disrupted global air travel with airspace closures, rerouted flights, and widespread delays impacting aviation systems worldwide. And at the same time, the war is costing the United States taxpayer billions, with estimates reaching $1 to $2 billion per day in operational cost. And now comes this headline. A potential $200 billion request to continue funding that war effort. So here's the disconnect. Americans are feeling we can fund war at scale, but we struggle to fund orders here at home. We can deploy resources overseas, but we can't ensure smooth travel for our very own citizens. And that's where the America First questions become unavoidable. Because America First isn't just a slogan, it's a priority structure. And tonight we're asking whether it's being followed. So joining me now is Shannon Joy. She is the host of Shannon Joy Radio, Keith Irwood, business preparedness expert and COO and founder of the Irwood Group, and John Gordon, pilot and radio host, The Truth with John Gordon. Thank you three for all being here with us today. John, I want to start with you. Americans are seeing these airport delays. They're seeing TSA shortages and travel disruptions at the same time. Headlines are dominated by this massive spending request for the war in Iran. Are these issues connected, or is Washington asking Americans to believe they are completely separate?
Well, I don't think they're really connected, frankly. I mean, the Democrats are trying to get their way and on the Save America Act and on other left-leaning causes, and so they're digging their feet in. And really the main objective is to deter ICE from deporting illegals in our country, because the Dems are convinced they can't win in the competition for ideas. So they resort to doing what they always do, gamesmanship, and they put the burden on the backs of the American people who are suffering while waiting to try and catch a flight. I think it's inexcusable. I think it's is deplorable and avoidable.
John, I hear exactly what you're saying, but do you think Americans are really blaming when they're standing in line? Do you think they're either blaming Republicans or Democrats, or are they just blaming those in power, which at this point happens to be the Republicans, for this issue that's happening?
Well, that's the challenge, isn't it? And the Republicans are in power, but they are not all powerful. I mean, you know, do we want a king for a day, or do we want a democratic process? And so I do applaud President Trump for dipping into other sources of funding so that the people that work in the TSA who are there to keep our airways safe are able to eat, clothe their families, and pay their rent. And I think it's just inexcusable that the Dems are holding them hostage while they try and game employ gamesmanship to get their way. I mean, the litmus test on all of these issues should be what is in the best interest of the American people,
John,
on a issue by issue basis.
John, you are correct
not
in that.
What is it you want?
I think that you are absolutely correct on that. That's what the show's about. What is in the best interest of the American people? That's why we're asking these questions. And we're not doing it in a sugar-coated way. And some of those things even Republicans don't want to hear. You know, Keith, I've got to ask you, because you're right. In the recent times, there's now funding for the TSA agents started just started this week. However, now they're saying that these funds are going to come possibly from healthcare expenditures. They're going to move over funding from looking at different Medicare, Medicaid issues in the country. This is a $200 billion request the Pentagon is putting in for war funding. You know, when I look at it, Keith, I have to ask you, it naturally raises these questions about the priorities. How do you justify that level of spending abroad when basic systems at home, now looking at our own healthcare system, appear to be very strained?
Well, you're right. And I also want to say that I agree with John 100%. And I want to add that the shift in the funding and moving ICE is actually really good and has made a lot of positive impacts on the long lines. But I also want to point out that, you know, there's a shift of taking care of Americans, and the first job of government is for our American citizens' safety. During the time period that Biden was in office, a lot of millions, in fact, people crossed the border. We know that some of those were known terrorists and unknown terrorists. We don't really know how many came across. And this is at a time where the Democrats, because of the SAVE Act and because of their policies and beliefs on immigration, they're defunding DHS and TSA.
Right. But here's the thing that I find to be very interesting about it. Those are great talking points for the Democratic Party. That's nothing different. In fact, they have to push that they are going to defund DHS and they're going to have to defund ICE because that's what's going to get them elected. That goes very well. That's the red meat for their base. At the same time, Joy, we are talking about national security in terms of these military actions overseas. I think all of us can understand that national security is not just here at home. But airport security is literally frontline security here at home. Do you think Washington has lost sight of this balance between protecting Americans at home and projecting this power abroad when the first line of funding that they went after potentially to move over and to pay for this was the DHS and our TSA agents?
Yeah, no, the Trump administration, in this current administration, does not have the American people's interests at heart. I think it's very clear that there are outside influences that this government is prioritizing foreign interests, corporate interests, and cronies, even his own family, over the needs, the safety, the security, and the well-being of the American people. And that's why his approval ratings at this point are now in the 30s, right? The Americans are deeply, deeply opposed to actions in the Middle East. The polling is blatant. I mean, this is among independents, Republicans, and Democrats. And, you know, what we're seeing happening in airports, I think, is largely manufactured chaos and a manufactured crisis. The Trump administration doesn't have to go straight to TSA workers. I think the Trump administration would like to continue to normalize the militarization of the streets of the United States of America, first from what we saw in Minneapolis, Minnesota, and now what we're seeing happen in airports across the United States of America. I think that the actions in the Iran war are in the interest of no Americans. In fact, they're making American life harder in every conceivable way, with the closure of the Strait of Hormuz and the energy shocks coming across the globe. I think that we are seeing them try to normalize a difficulty in transportation for U.S. citizens. I think we'll start to see more chaos in airports. If we see gas or if we see oil go to above $200 per barrel, which We are seeing reports of that now. Every single American is going to pay more for every single item. It's going to cost more to ship items. We're going to have long-term impact in this country to no benefit for any American. And this is why Americans are angry. And I think that conservatives need to take a hard look at what this administration is doing. We also have an economic crisis that we are facing, inflation. And so in terms of what's happening at the airports, I think the larger concern for many people is new rhetoric around energy shocks and energy lockdowns. And so this is reminiscent
for me. Can we stop the filibuster long enough to unpack what this lady's saying?
Well, essential versus non-essential, created the crisis so that they could expand their power and authority and continue to tear apart our Constitution. And by the way, the role of the president is not to keep Americans safe.
And I get that.
The role of the president in our government is to uphold the Constitution and to protect our liberties. And that includes free markets. And this
Shannon,
president, this administration is not doing it. Shannon,
Are you going to let this rant go?
I am. Well, let me say this. First of all, I want to establish, because obviously we're coming at all different perspectives on here. That's why we're having the three of you on in this. I think we can all agree, though, on one thing, that the American people aren't happy. Joey points out a very good point. The polls are down, but President Trump, I don't think he necessarily sees that, knows that, because in MAGA world, according to those MAGA polls, he's just as popular as he's always been.
That's right.
And that's where I think the only poll Trump's seeing. At the same time, to your point, John, and I want to give you a chance to respond to this real quick, because I do want to, her frustrations is true. Now, let me guess, Joy, you were never a Trump supporter, correct?
I'm a lifelong conservative Republican. I voted Republican for 35 years. I started a radio show 12 years ago and have always upheld principles of conservatism, free markets, the Constitution, the role of government. Trump is not a conservative, has never been a Republican, and that's why I've opposed him. His policies are more reminiscent of Democrats than they are of Republicans.
So,
that's just
Joy,
my thoughts.
I get what you're saying. So, John, I want you to respond, because to a certain extent, she does say she's a conservative, and this is where I think conservatives they're not listening. They're not listening to the ones that are not happy with what's going on. So, John, how do you respond? And I promise you, Keith, you're going to lead off in this when we come back. John, what is your response to those conservatives who are frustrated, like Joy right now, with policies that they don't feel like are really following the conservative principles and the promises that Trump made on the campaign trail to get reelected by conservatives?
Well, first of all, I don't believe that any president should govern the country based on the polls. Now, they want to get reelected, and so the polls are important from that standpoint. But I don't know how old this young lady is that is talking, but I would just want curious if she was alive in 1978. I was, when the Iranians seized our U.S. embassy in Tehran and held 54 U.S. citizens hostage for over 2 years. And they have terrorized the world and this country ever since. I commend President Trump for having the guts and the determination to stop their tyranny and their killing of their own people. 30,000 people have been killed by the Ayatollah. Are you kidding me? And you're more interested in polls than you are the sanctity of human life?
Yeah.
I mean, come on, get real.
Well, John, let me point out something. You're going back 40 years, though.
Be stopped.
You're having to go. You're going back 40 years, and that's really hard for this next generation.
No, 40 years of constant terrorism.
But it's 40 years
sponsored terrorism around the world.
And I understand what you're saying. So,
death to America.
Let's do a quick break, because we're going to recenter here, and we're going to go back to our focus on this, because these are definitely real issues. We're not going to ignore. These are the arguments happening amongst the conservative movements right now. Donald Trump's own supporters in the party right now, and we cannot ignore them. That's when the Republicans are going to lose, when they don't listen to what people are saying. We need to know, what does America First foreign policy actually look like? Has something shifted from what Donald Trump promised on the campaign trail when he said no new foreign wars, or is this just him playing 5D chess and bringing in something, finishing something that no other president had the courage to do? We'll talk about this some more after the break. Welcome back to America First. Tonight, we're examining the growing disconnect between domestic challenges like airport chaos and massive foreign policy spending tied to the war in Iran, a conversation really happening on the Republican side. In fact, I find it hilarious. The Democrats are kind of sitting back in all of this and just watching the Republicans have this argument amongst themselves, hoping that they just stay at home. Shannon Joy, I apologize. I've been calling you Joy. It's such a great name. Okay. Shannon, thank you so much for joining us. She's the host of Shannon Joy Radio. Keith Irwood, business preparedness expert and COO and founder of the Irwood Group. And John Gordon, pilot, radio host, The Truth with John Gordon. Welcome back, all of you. I'm told you, Keith, we're going to get back right in with you on this one. This America First doctrine, something that got Donald Trump elected in 2016, again in 2024, it's always emphasized prioritizing American citizens. Donald Trump's core issue, American infrastructure, American stability. Based on what you have seen, on what we're seeing right now, do you feel like this current foreign policy is aligned with that principle, or can you see why some of his biggest supporters are a little frustrated with this policy right now?
Well, first, let me start by saying I do see why many people are frustrated. When you look at it on the surface, it doesn't necessarily look like an America First policy to go start a foreign war with Iran. And Shannon, she made some really good points, but here's where I'm at. And we've essentially been at war for 47 years with Iran. I wrote back in 2013 that a major conflict or war with Iran is basically inevitable, with them heading towards doing nuclear research, enriching uranium. They obviously have ballistic capabilities far beyond what they admitted after launching a missile on Diego Garcia. That actually comes first, in my opinion, because they've been actually attacking us for a long time. And I was a young boy in 1978. And I actually watched my dad struggle with the oil lines the every other day, or every other, you know, where you have to wait in these long, long lines, fights break out. And if we end up in a protracted war and it goes beyond the end of April, which is possible, that we're definitely looking at a future of not only high increased oil prices, but we already have bigger problems with increased or shortages of urea, shortages of helium, which are all natural gas byproducts.
Right.
So I do believe and support the president, although I don't agree with everything, obviously, but I do agree with the current attack and the timing on Iran, I think was good and timely. And with Iran assassinating tens of thousands, the actual number is really unknown, but it's estimated between 30 to 40,000 of their own citizens in the protests the last couple of months, and they're still executing people. But, so I think it was a good thing.
And I get what you're saying on this one, and I want to take this to John real quick before I go to you, Shannon. Do you see, though, are you worried that, as you said, if this continues, and they're saying it's costing families on average $10 to $15 more per filling up their gas tank, most people have two to four cars they're filling up, it is going to have an economic, it's more than just, per se, giving up a Starbucks. Are you worried that this is going to have a political backlash to President Trump when he gets to the midterms? And we're just a few months away from that, John. Or do you think that the Republicans are still going to come out overwhelmingly for these candidates when it comes to November?
Well, I put my first bumper sticker on for Richard Nixon in 1959. So I've been a consistent Republican my entire life. There is a political reality that you point out. And I have said on my own radio show as late as Saturday of this past week that wars are easy to start and very hard to end. And I think that's what President Trump is experiencing right now. I think he thought that if we kill all the leadership and we take out their missile capability, that they would fold, and they haven't. But let's get back to my original point. Since 1979, They have sponsored terrorism around the world. They have sponsored Hezbollah for the last 50 years. In 1983, they were responsible for the Beirut bombings. In 92, they were responsible for the Israeli embassy in Buenos Aires being attacked. In 94, the AMIA Jewish Center in Argentina. It just goes on and on. And so, you know, I've lost 20% of my savings in the last month as a result of this war. Okay. Am I complaining? Am I having a pity party? No, I'm not. It is a sacrifice I'm willing to make for our country's security and the world's security, and to do the right thing, which is to neutralize this threat to democracy and the Western world. These people shout, death to America. And they have engaged in terrorism. It is high time that someone's had the courage to stand up to it. Thank you, President Donald J.
John, Trump. And I see your point to that. Shannon, I'm going to go to you real quick. My only response that I'd have to point out to that, there's been lots of countries, unfortunately, that shout death to America in the streets. There's been lots of other countries that have terrorism. I mean, let's look at it. Let's go, you know, we were in Afghanistan. They justified Afghanistan for 20 years in that. And we saw how many American lives did with
so
that.
So would you just ignore it? Would you allow the killing of 30,000 people to continue?
Absolutely.
Would you allow the attacks on our military bases to continue? 600 U.S. service men and women have died.
I don't think that people...
No one
I don't
cares
think that
about that.
Realize that they were about
no one cares
to acquire
about that.
A nuclear weapon.
Well, you'd care if it was one of your relatives.
Well, but
if it was one of your if it was your family service member that died at the hand of the Iranian regime, you would care.
Well,
I care, and I've never met any.
Enough Americans have died at the hands of our government and our governments over the past 10 years, particularly since the lockdowns of COVID in 2020, at the hands of government
intervention. Let's don't confuse the issue. I mean, we can talk about Democrats imprisoning legions of people for marijuana possession.
How do you explain Donald Trump's need at the
Hold on one second, John. Yeah, Shannon, go for it.
Yeah.
Make your quick point.
Well, I would say two things to John. The list that he rattled off, I mean, that list was evident and available for the, you know, years that Donald Trump campaigned on ending endless wars. Donald Trump was very clear that he was not going to start new wars. He was going to end the wars that had been previously started. So this is a complete and utter blatant betrayal of his constituency base. Nothing has changed. They have not made any case to prove that there is enrichment of uranium happening. They have openly acknowledged, actually, that the U.S. has destroyed all of their ability to enrich uranium. That was announced just a couple months ago. There's no evidence of any nuclear proliferation, and there's no evidence that Iran posed a direct threat to the United States of America. In fact, the Trump administration is
Iran
saying that we're waging
the
these wars for resources, for trade routes,
and
to commit regime change. I mean, they're giving every excuse to go to war with Iran, except for Iran is actually posing a direct and imminent threat to the United States of America. And it's so bad that even Israel just came out yesterday and said they're not sending any troops. So we're going to send our troops ahead. This is a war to benefit the government of Israel. We started this war because, you know, Trump said that there was an imminent, Israel was going to come in and attack, and we wanted to get there first, which is an insane reason. I mean, even the administration cannot get their story straight as to why we are sending now 57,000 troops, boots on the ground, into Iran. Their messaging is completely contradictory, to the extent that they're gaslighting the Americans with the absurdity. It's utterly absurd.
And let me ask you this.
The second point, you know, you mentioned your 401k, and you said, oh, you're willing to lose 20% of your retirement to wage this war. You're willing to put, you know, our children on the line. I have three children. I have two boys, okay? And I'm not willing to put my children on the line for this war, but you're willing to give up 20% of your retirement. Do you know how much the Trump administration and the Trump family has increased their net worth in just the past 12 months? Well, $4 billion.
I don't see the connection. We're talking about a war in Iran, not the Trump family wealth.
So the sacrifice.
I mean, be real.
While he enriches his own cronies.
Okay.
Not okay.
So let's take that side. Let's take that. I hear what you're saying, Shannon. I mean, real quick, I want to give you, John, here's the thing. You mentioned history, and you talked about how the 1970s, and I agree. I've heard stories. I definitely realized there was an issue there. But since then, for the people that were asking potentially to go fight boots on the ground, they didn't learn. They learned those stories from a history book. But since then, we did learn that Iraq, that we as Americans were duped and lied to get our soldiers into Iraq. And I was one of those that went over there. We did learn that we were told a lie by our government, the reasons that we were there by our politicians. I think you have to admit that one of the big heartaches in all this is Trump promised. Now, if Jeb Bush would have got up there and said, I'm going to go in Iran, we'd go, yep, we expect that to happen. And if we elected him, we knew it was coming. I just don't think his own base, conservatives, independents that voted for him, thought that he would do this because he specifically, and J.D. Vance, and even Marco Rubio, specifically said this was not going to be what they did. In fact, they said if you wanted this war, you elect the other side, you elect the Democrat. Can you at least kind of say, can you see where that perspective is coming from?
Of course, but are you so naive as to believe that things are not dynamic, that things are not subject to change? Now, President Trump,
what
Marco
changed?
Rubio,
tell
J.D.
me what changed
Vance.
In the last year. Well, tell me what changed
I
in the
will,
last year.
I will. Absolutely, I will, if you'll allow me to. J.D. Vance, Lindsey Graham have all said that Iran possessed uranium, that they had refined it to 60%, that it was a steep curve to get to 60%. But the curve from 60% to 90% was pretty easy, and that they were really genuinely concerned about allowing this state that sponsors terrorism around the world to get their hands on a nuclear weapon. I'm willing to accept them at their word. Evidently, you all are not. You can have your own opinion, but...
Well,
trust me,
yeah, he's the United States Senator from South Carolina.
I understand completely why people don't want to take
him. You don't like Lindsey Graham. Okay, so you think he's lying.
So let's pause.
You think that Lindsey Graham is lying.
We will say, I think I think Lindsey Graham, while he's at Disney World, by the way, currently at Disney World this week, having Chef Mickey, I do think Lindsey Graham, because he's lied to us in the past. Okay, so at the heart of this conversation is something very simple. It's priorities. You know, America First was never just about rhetoric. It was about focus and action. Focus on the American worker, the American traveler, the American taxpayer. And the idea that this government's first responsibility is always supposed to be to its own people. When Americans see this chaos at airports, when they feel the strain in their daily lives, especially when they go fill up their tanks, then they hear about the hundreds of billions of dollars being requested for another foreign war. They don't need a policy briefing to understand that something just doesn't feel right. The math is not adding up because priorities don't lie, budgets don't lie, and the actions by your government never lies. The question now is whether Washington is willing to be honest about what they're actually doing and what their motivation is. Are they going to realign their priorities or continue down this path that leaves Americans asking the question, who exactly is being put first? Thank you for watching. I'm Skynell Hughes. This has been America First.